Hey folks, you're listening to the LifeScan Learning Lab edition of the Get Balanced podcast with me, Dr. Donnie, and my friend and co-host, Chief Todd LeDuc. Episode 115.
Welcome to the Get Balanced podcast with Dr. Donnie. If you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or emergency medical professional who would like to improve your family relationships, your physical and mental health, and want to have success at work and at home, well, this show is for you. Welcome to the Get Balanced program. Let's get started.
All right, Todd, let's get this podcast going.
Sounds great, Donnie. Thanks for joining me again. It's hard to believe We're well over a year plus of episodes, and we have another great one on store today. And it's my my privilege and honor to introduce our guest today. He's been a longtime friend down here in South Florida, and had tremendous amount of service within fire service circles. And it's Chief Otto Drodes from currently working with NFPA. So, Chief, welcome to the LifeScan Learning Lab edition of the Get Balanced podcast with myself and my co-host, Dr. Donnie.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be with both of you, and certainly an honor to be here. And anytime I have an opportunity to speak about the fire service and the people within it, which are really the driving force behind it, certainly I'm happy to do so.
Well, we're thrilled to have you with us today, and I know you've had a wealth of experience, and we're going to start talking about that here just now. But I know our listeners, and Donnie reminds me all the time, we have hundreds of listeners from across not only the United States, but I know you just got back from international travel.
Hundreds and hundreds. Yes.
And international listeners as well. So I know you got a little taste. We'll probably talk about that during the session today of fire service overseas. But why don't we start by, since we have many diverse listeners from diverse areas of the globe, why don't you just start by telling us your journey, if you would. How you get into the service, where that service has taken you. And I know you just started a new position, which has to be exciting. And I'd like for you to maybe talk a little bit about the new position as well.
Sure. So I started my fire service career in 1986, and I was fortunate to really get on with my hometown department, which was the city of Hialeah, where I grew up since I was two, originally from Jersey, but moved to South Florida at an early age. And like many, as I was trying to find my way in the fire service, I must have tested at 30 different departments across the state and even outside of the state. And at the time, there was 2,500 people taking the exam for the department that I initially got on, which was the city of Hialeah. So like many, I wanted to make my way as a firefighter. And, I was always looking at the leadership within the organization to really kind of guide me along the pathway. So I was able to go with some really good mentors. I was able to go from firefighter to engineer to lieutenant, captain, district chief, which is similar to many people's battalion chiefs. And then I was battalion chief for, almost 2 years when the sitting fire chief came to me and he asked if I would consider being fire chief, and that he wanted to put my name forward and recommend me for the position to the mayor. And so really how I had patterned my career, I had many fire chiefs and each of them had good traits that you take from your mentors. And so we had one fire chief that was viewed as an administrative chief, very good at getting things done, working you know, the interactions with city government and neighboring departments. And then I had other chiefs that were more operationally based. So they each brought something to the table. So when I structured my career, I wanted to make sure that I didn't have a deficit on either side. So early on in my career, I focused on the operations coming up through our special ops programs, through being on the hazardous materials team, being on one of the first airborne rescue teams in Miami-Dade County for a short period of time, and really getting all the technical skills to make me a good firefighter and eventually a good officer. But while I came in with a high school education, the service gave me the opportunity to go all the way through my master's degree about the time that I was becoming a battalion chief. So when that fire chief came to me, he said that he's retiring, the deputy chief's retiring. So my ascension to fire chief was over a 2-week span. So when they say they wore their boots into the office, I actually wore my boots into the office because I was a battalion chief on the line in operations. And 2 weeks later, I was fire chief. I spent 2 weeks as deputy chief, and then I ascended to fire chief. And, you know, in that journey going from battalion chief to fire chief, I really had no reason to become fire chief other than that I wanted to, if there was anything that I could do for our service, for our department to make it better, I wanted to do it. And we had had probably 5 fire chiefs in the previous 7 years. When you look at fire chiefs and interim chiefs, and they had moved through. And so I had really the opportunity to go in at a time that many said the department was at its lowest place. And really my mindset was, well, it can only get better from here. And I want to give it a shot, and was able to put together a staff, and we stayed together for the next 7 years. And we did a lot of good things there. And really, I really learned in position. In fact, I was relaying to somebody the other day, you know how when they talk about how kids learn to swim, they drive them out into the lake, the story that they drive you out into the lake and they drop you into the lake and you have to swim back. Well, that was kind of my experience at becoming fire chief. They dropped me in and I had to learn to swim. And over those 7 years in Hialeah, I learned to swim. And then my fire service career took me to the city of El Paso in Texas, which, you know, I was getting to where I could retire in Hialeah. And, you know, I spoke to my wife and I told her I could retire outright. And she goes, just hold that thought right there. And she brought the family Bible, put it on the table. And she goes, if you can find the word retirement in that book, you can do it. And I was like, okay, well, I'm still looking. That's why I'm still working. So,
some wisdom there.
That's right. So El Paso was a metro, and I wanted to go to the largest departments within our industry, which are the metro departments. El Paso was the one that happened to be open. So I told my wife, I go, there's really no good reason for us to go to El Paso. We don't know anybody there. They don't know us. They've never had a fire chief from the outside since their inception in the late 1800s. But I wanted to try myself, you know, try the interview process and get my feet wet there again. And, you know, everything fell just right. So we made our way to El Paso, where I spent a great 3.5 years. In fact, I still stay in communication with a lot of the folks there. And we did a lot of good things. And a lot of the programs we put into place are still in place there. And built a very good command staff there. And, you know, one of the proudest things when people ask me, what's your best accomplishment? The things I'm most proud of are the people that I've worked with that find success in their own right. And that staff produced several fire chiefs, most notably Sam Pena, who's the chief of Houston. I got to work with him in El Paso, and then a guy by the name of Mike Calderazzo, who's the chief in Boulder, Colorado now. So both of them were on the same staff at the same time. So
that's great. In fact, we just had Chief Pena on as guest on the podcast several weeks ago, and a good friend. And I know he's doing well in Houston. So that's wonderful to, I got to say, when you list that as an accomplishment, is the success of others around you, that speaks volumes. So judging by that, it shows the success you've had at every place that you've been to, and El Paso being no different.
Yeah. And so from El Paso, I was a Florida guy. So at some point I was going to come home to Florida, and the job at Orange County came open, and I interviewed for that, was successful in coming to Orange County, where I spent a great 6.5 years. We were able to make a lot of impacts there, and still keep an eye on the departments that I was with. And then from there, my last position within the fire service was as fire chief in Seminole County before I got offered the position as the executive secretary with NFPA as part of the Metropolitan Fire Chiefs Association. And, it's, a lot of us, when we look at the fire service in our careers, we know that we can't be in the active service forever, but we want to contribute. And so while I wasn't necessarily ready to leave, the opportunity to serve the Metro and the NFPA was something that doesn't come along very often. In fact, Russ Sanders, who was my predecessor there, held the position for 25 years. So when I say it doesn't come up very often, once every 25 years so far. I just started there in December and have had a great time. And certainly when you look at the Metro and the departments that are part of the Metro are the largest departments within the United States, Canada, and the world. And the Metro in many ways are bellwethers for what happens within the fire service, because while a lot of good things happen throughout the fire service, a lot of times when they happen in those very large scope departments, because they have the resources, because they a lot of times have the communication center, the special operations team, then whatever happens there kind of flows out to the neighboring departments, and it gets incorporated across the fire service. That's the position I'm in now, and I'm certainly happy to be here. And I gave you probably 35 years in about 5 minutes. So
that's a great, great track record. That's for sure. Hey, Otto, you mentioned success a couple times, success with your career, success with others. And you also mentioned your wife. And I love the story about the Bible and find the word retirement. So that's a highlight right there. And, one of the things that I preach about, as Todd hears me all the time, and what my workshops are about, is creating success, not just on the job in our careers, but also at home and with our health and wellness. I wanted to see if you could speak about that. Do you find success? Do you find the definition of success? Do you think it should include home life, health and wellness, as well as career?
Absolutely. In fact, I think when we define success, that's the only way to define it. If you look at anybody's career holistically, if one part, you could be very successful in one part, but if the other part falls down, then success isn't what it should be. So I've, always tried to really look at it and really, because I came into the service as a very young fire chief with very young children, I always, when 5 o'clock hit, and if there was a family event, or if I had to make time for the kids, I made time for the kids. And I told people, I go, a lot of the things that we're so focused on and that are big issues, they will be there tomorrow. Some of the things you got to take care of right now, and that's understood, and you do stay late at times, but some people make a habit of staying late all the time. And that's not healthy because you do throw the balance of your life off center when you do that. In fact, there's been organizations that was the norm to stay late and
part of the culture. Yeah.
That's right. I would go in and I would say, pack it up, time to go. You know, well, we'll get to it tomorrow. It'll be here. That thing isn't going away. You know, or that issue is not going away. And of course, we're a 24-hour service, so we deal with the emergencies, but we can't believe everything's an emergency.
Right. I know when I was leading teams as president of a couple different organizations in my career, not outside of public safety, but I think I could relate to what you're saying, is that I say, you know, I'm going to make it home for dinner. And I expect my management team to make it home for dinner. And I want them to get all the staff to dinner, to a soccer game, to Friday night football game, whatever we need to do, let's get it done. Because when my kids are sleeping, you know, I'll come in at 4 a.m. You know, we can start work at 4 a.m. if we need to, you know, because I purposely decided I would give up sleep. You know, I knew I was going to go out of balance on sleep, but I was just trying to prioritize at the time, right? Which we can all go out of balance. You know, it's an ebb and flow. You know, it's a give and take all the time, what we give up and what we prioritize. But I'm right there with you about that. Especially, I think in today's world, these, you know, our children, they need the parent, they need the dad, they need the mom. And the more we can get involved, I think the better we are as a community.
Yeah, and it's a learned behavior because a lot of times you're so committed to the work, you really have to learn to insert, you know, the priorities and really make time for each of those aspects of our lives, whether it be, you know, make time to exercise, make time to be with your family, make time to go out to the stations, get out from behind the desk. That, you know, to me, I tell people one of the greatest successes and most of the germination of great ideas happened at the kitchen table, at the stations, talking to the firefighters that are responsible for the work in the field. And then, you know, I loved because, you know, they would say, well, we've talked about this 20 times before. And I was like, yeah, but you haven't talked to me about it. And as fire chief, I was very happy to take those ideas and bring them to life. And so people can really get behind things when they're relevant to their station in life.
Great, great stuff. You know, as you were both talking about priorities and that balance, so reminded me of the late James Page. And some of you listening may remember James Page. He was LA County chief who was instrumental as a technical advisor to the TV show Emergency. But I heard one of his conference presentations where he was reminiscing that he had lots of folks that he knew that were professionally successful and lots that he knew that were personally successful, but not so many that were both. And it certainly is that, you know, balance and as you said, priorities and setting those priorities. So I think just the discussion, some great wisdom for those that are continuing on the job or coming onto the job today, making sure we have that holistic approach. I want to kind of pivot a little bit. You touched on all your journey and where it's brought you today. And I kind of want to touch on that a little bit because that's a new chapter for you. I'm very familiar with the Metro section, having been involved with IFC. And I know LifeScan, has been a long-term corporate partner with the Metro Chiefs. And I know you have a conference coming up, Metro Conference, coming up next month, which I'm looking forward to being at, and LifeScan's looking forward to being at in Memphis. And shout out to Memphis Fire, that's going to be the host. But can you tell our listeners, you kind of alluded to it in terms of Metro departments often being the tip of the spear for fire service change and innovation. But I don't think likely many or most of our listeners are familiar with the Metro section and what that involves and what it entails and the work that comes out of it. So can you talk a little bit about your new role in the work of the section and maybe even listeners that are part of Metro departments, how they can, expect to benefit from the work that goes on there?
Sure. So the Metro is unique in that it is not open to anybody that just wants to join. The Metro is only open to the chief of a Metro size department. And that's defined as somebody that has a full-time staffing of 350 firefighters plus. Originally the Metro was established to really look at those problems that are unique to urban areas. So their first conference held in Miami back in the 60s involved New York City, Chicago, the large mega metros. Of course, Miami was there, Baltimore, some of the others, and really it's grown from there. And so we don't have a huge membership because it is just the fire chiefs, but they're very influential. And, you know, a lot of the success of the Metro is that when we take policy positions, when we develop different initiatives through either our conferences, through the Urban Fire Forum, which I'll talk about in a little bit, it's really something that can be taken and implemented. And it's implemented within those large scope departments. And so when we look at that membership, it's really almost, it's a safe space for a lot of the chiefs because you're really talking to other fire chiefs that are experiencing what you're experiencing. And the other benefit of the Metro is that I like to say once a Metro, always a Metro, because if you were a Metro chief, we have something that's called senior member. So a lot of the folks that served as fire chiefs in these very high profile positions within their regions continue on as senior members of the Metro, and they add a level of richness to the organization to where they have the wisdom of the years that they served, and they offer that to a lot of the new members. So you have an integration of people that have been there to people that are there now. And then the Metro has research partners. So we're always working on new initiatives, and we're active in 41 different committees or initiatives, whether it be in the behavioral health space or EMS or any of the technical NFPA technical committees. And so the other thing that's unique about the Metro is that it is a section of the NFPA and the IFC. So it's the only section that belongs to both organizations. And as such, we get the benefit of both organizations. And the Urban Fire Forum, while that's on the NFPA side of the house, that is something that the Metro is an integral part of that. So we invite a lot of our research partners there, and that's where we look at new initiatives. That's where NFPA 3000 was born. The active shooter standard. That's where a lot of the 1710 initiatives, NFPA 1710 was born, the recommendations for crew size, high rise, civil unrest. So since 2013 to now, that Urban Fire Forum has produced 37 unique position papers or initiatives that are, you know, on our website, on NFPA's website. So if you look up NFPA Metro Section and Urban Fire Forum, you'll find those 37 initiatives that are there. And as fire chief, when I was part of the Metro, it was a great resource for me because, you know, they would develop these things over the years, present it at the conference, and then I would take it back to the department. And of course, my folks used to hate when I would go to a Metro conference because they knew they would have work when I came back, because now we were going to implement what was the latest issue and address the issue in a substantial way that really details all those things that departments should be doing in order not only to provide for their communities, but for the firefighters that really are the heartbeat to that engine.
Yeah, that's great. Great stuff. Great resources. I mean, you just laid out a number that are really, have changed the landscape, whether that's crew size or active shooter, landscape of fire response capabilities. And I want to encourage any of our listeners. The chief mentioned about the Metro website on the NFPA website. Those resources are there. It's a great opportunity, whether it's training or policy development or just looking at best practices. Take a look at those resources and don't recreate the wheel if you don't have to. There's a lot of great minds that come together and share their experiences. So, Chief, I want to talk a little bit about your service at IFC, and I know that's recently. You also, I had the honor of going over to Bahrain a couple of years ago, and I know you just got back from I think it was Saudi Arabia. You can talk a little bit about your time at IFC and your recent travel with the conference in partnership with our partners over in the Middle East, and maybe a perspective on, fire service from across the globe.
Sure. So I'll take the IFC first. What a great journey running for IFC second vice president. So having come from a Metro, of course there's the Metro and there is all different size and scopes of departments out there that are doing great work, whether it be, on the volunteer side, the combination side. So I really got an opportunity when I was running for second vice president to really go out and really speak to a lot of the folks and get their perspectives. And, what I like to tell everybody, while the Metros may be, larger and a little bit different, there's more things that we have in common as a fire service than those things that separate us. Sometimes it's a matter of resources and scope, but we're very similar in a lot of the ways. And so as I went out and I spoke to a lot of the constituency groups within the IFC, I really got the richness of that organization and certainly the richness and the interactions of the entire fire service. And, firefighters are firefighters wherever you run into them. And certainly I tell people, when they ask me what I do, I still tell them I'm a firefighter, because at our core, that's what we are. That's ingrained within us, and certainly a great perspective on the IFC that way. And, it's funny because at the time, that election cycle, I was running against six other people, I believe, something like that, which I got to meet them and really get their perspectives on things. And really, I think it was a great process because they sharpened me on really my delivery and the things that we talked about and the initiatives that we wanted to bring forward. And certainly when we look at a lot of the things that the IFC does in conjunction with the Metro, and certainly expanding our reach overseas is one of those things that we like to do. The Metro has members all across the globe, just like the IFC. And one of the areas that I was fortunate enough to go to recently was Saudi Arabia. I spent about 5 or 6 days and 5.5 days in Saudi Arabia, and then another 5.5 or so, 6 days in the UAE, in Dubai and Abu Dhabi. And so, that premise that we're more alike, even all the way across the world, we're more alike than we are different in a lot of the aspects. So they're really looking at a lot of the things that we're doing in the United States and bringing best practice to the Middle East, and certainly to Saudi Arabia as they build out their infrastructure, because Saudi Arabia wants to bring in tourism. So they're looking at these huge mega projects that will take the model of Dubai and plant it in different areas within Saudi Arabia. So they're really looking for the best minds when it comes to fire protection codes and standards and bringing all that in to set that up appropriately. And while I was there, I got to meet with elements of not only their codes and standards folks, but their civil defense in Dubai and Abu Dhabi. And it's remarkable, a lot of the things that they're asking about. They're asking about the same impacts that really affect our firefighters, the health and wellness. They're asking about, okay, annual physicals, right? They're asking about behavioral health, because of the impact of responding to traumatic events, and how, what programs are we using to really look at mitigating the impacts. And certainly, you know, from the experience of being in within large organizations that have a lot of those resources available. And I can tell you, nobody is 100% there because we still have the problem, right? So it's a work in progress, whether we talk about cancer in the fire service, heart disease, the behavioral health piece. Those are all things that we're all working on, and they have an interest in it as well. So really great experience, and certainly we're going to be following up with them. And I think, the world is getting smaller with the communications tools, this podcast being one of them, the internet, and really they're taking a lot of the best practices and trying to implement them there. And they're being successful, but they want more. And certainly one of our jobs as leaders within the fire service is to really spread best practice in all four corners of the earth if we can.
Yeah, that certainly is the case. So firefighters are firefighters wherever they may be found. You touched on the IFC. I want to remind our listeners out there that the IFC, which has been around for over 100 years, has a rich history, but there's a tremendous amount of resources, both those that the chief touched on and more, on their website as well. So check out www.ifc.org. All the different sections and the work the IFC does, position papers, again, tremendous amount of sharing of thoughts and knowledges from across not just metro departments, but volunteer combination departments, the entire fire service. So, Chief, I want to be mindful of your time, and I know our listeners as well. I'm going to probably wrap up with one last question for you. And I know with your journey that you've had, we've only scratched the surface. So we would certainly love to have you back on. Donnie will probably want you to come on in his podcast and talk about work-life balance. And I know we'd love to have you back on for version 2.0 so we can continue our discussion. But what I think would be good for our listeners, you outlined close to four decades of service that you've had in a multitude of departments and now in organizations. If for our listeners that are on the job or maybe thinking about coming on the job, if you had to impart one lesson, I would assume maybe a leadership lesson, and I can see our readers, our listeners can't see, but the chief appears to be a voracious reader, just from seeing his library in the background. So I know he's a student at heart. But what would that lesson be for our listeners if you could give them a little bit of that 30 some odd years of experience and wisdom? What would that be?
So I like to, you know, I'd like to do it through an analogy, right? So a lot of the leadership lessons that I have gotten within my career have come from, you know, my kids, my wife, and certainly the fire service. So organizationally, I like to talk about an escalator, right? So I remember one time we were in a mall and there was an escalator and my kids were young and they asked, you know, they came running up to my wife, and I have three kids that are all older now, but they came running up to my wife and they asked her, "Mom, can we run up the down escalator?" You know, what kid doesn't want to run up the down escalator? You know,
or adult.
That's or adult. That's right. And so that's where my role came in. And
don't try this at home, listeners. Don't try
that's
this
right.
at home.
So my wife, you know, as many mothers do, they go, well, ask your dad. And I think she was looking for support to say no. But I looked at the escalator. There wasn't hardly anybody on it. I was like, yeah, go ahead, knock yourself out, you know? So they proceeded to run up the down escalator, right? And so the leadership lesson from running up a down escalator is at, and they were very small. So as they're running up, they would get to a step higher up on the escalator and they would stop and they would begin to move down. So they would run all the way to the top step and stop, and they would begin to move down. So as a fire service, when you think you've arrived, you got to keep moving because there's always something that's peeking its head around the corner to impact our service, whether that be behavioral health and really looking at the root causes of marital discord, addiction, financial impacts that are impacting, whether it be PFAS in our bunker gear, whether it be our deployment models, we really always have to search out for best practice. And if we want to stay on top, if we want to provide the best service for our communities and keep our firefighters safe, we got to keep moving to stay on that top step. If not, we begin to move down over time.
I love that awesome. Analogy. I thought this story was going to end with a trip to a trauma center, but I love the analogy. I probably ask your permission to steal it, or better yet, benchmark it and share that. But it couldn't be further, aligned with the realities of. I think now more so than ever. I mean, the operating environment. We probably said this maybe 100 years ago, but the complexities, seem to be growing and exponentially. Whether that's a once in a century global pandemic, whether that's our discord that we have within the country, fire service is always the tip of the spear within the community and has to be prepared for that. So, Chief, that was a great analogy. I love that. I hope our listeners wrap that as a gift with a bow on top as you go through your journey, whether that's at the company officer or chief officer level, wherever you serve, always continuing to improve. So, Chief, I want to thank you for your time today. I know you're busy, and appreciate you taking a slice of time out of your day to share your wisdom and your service with our listeners. I know they will only benefit from that. So thank you. And as I said, we'll certainly reach back out, and hopefully we can have you back on and continue the discussion.
Anytime. My pleasure.
All right. Thank you.
Hey, if you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or EMS professional who enjoys this podcast and would like some help with your work-life balance, you need to check out my Get Balanced program. Not sure if you are balanced or not? Join me over at DonnieHutchinson.com and take the quiz. Together, we are going to get you balanced.